All right, welcome to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Both coaches in the house. We're going to talk some Hardin County Lady Tiger and Tiger basketball coming up here in just a few minutes. We got a pretty good discussion. We should have turned the mic on and on the football side of it. We got some football guys in here. That's what I like. Not that I don't like basketball, but you know, it's still football time.
Saturday from Labor Day to the last game plays. Saturdays are spent in front of the TV, and this time of year it's spent in front of the TV watching my film. I got my laptop on my lap, watching my team or maybe our opponent, and then a game on the big screen. So, yeah I'm a basketball and football junkie for sure.
Let me tell you my deal yesterday. My middle son's in town. We got everybody in the house, kids running everywhere. And I told him, he said, your TV's about to go out. I said, it is. He said, yeah, the colors are awful. It's real light. He said, why don't we go get one? I said, you paying? He said, no, you can pay, but let's just go get one. So I said, we'll go to Walmart. And we went and looked, and I said, I'm not getting one. And got back to the house. And he said, I'll go get it. There's too many people there. I was getting stressed. Too many people. I want to walk out of the big TV, you know. So, anyway, they go back. I send my two boys back. They come back. They set it up. Man, everybody's excited, you know, new TV. They put it up on the mantle. And I look at it, and I go, that's the same size I already got. And he said, no, it's not. And I said, yeah, it is. So we go measure. They brought back the same TV. It just cost me more, you know. And I said, I don't want this. Take it back. He said, what do you want? I said, I want one bigger. I called my son-in-law up, Kendall, and I said, what size is your TV? He said, 75. I said, I want 85. I want bigger than him. But anyway, I sent them back. They went back. They had to go back a couple of times. So we had fun watching them.
Yesterday must have been TV buying day because we had to buy one for the bedroom yesterday. So must have been something in the air about TVs.
Well, yesterday was the best day to do it. I mean, they were on sale. They cut them half price, whatever. But anyway, I've had this one for, oh, God, probably 10 years or so. It's obsolete. I mean, there's been so many different versions come out since I've had that TV. It's crazy, but – anyway, my wife said, what are you going to do with this one? I said, I'm taking it to the Sports Talk studio.
There you go.
Yeah. So we can watch game day and stuff. It's not here right now. Ryan, settle down. he popped up there. But anyway.
We're looking around for
TV. Yeah, looking around for the TV. I got to figure out what I'm going to do with it. That one's been there for a while. It just doesn't work because I don't know passwords to get into it. But anyway, Coach, appreciate you coming in. We said we might be on, might not be on, and couple of people in the community asked me, said, you gonna be on Saturday? And I said, oh yeah, although I knew that I'd already said no, but here we are. I mean, what else we got to do?
I mean, hey, we're dedicated to the task here.
Exactly. So Adamsville in town, your first experience with the rival game between the two schools, 10-15 miles apart.
What a great crowd. I was telling somebody yesterday that, you know, when I walked out for our warm-up, I mean, the place was probably 75% full at that point at the start of the girls game, and then by the time you got to the guys game, people were leaning on the walls around the gym. It was a great atmosphere, great tournament atmosphere. One thing for sure, that we certainly are supported here in this community, and we appreciate everybody coming out for sure.
Adamsville coming into town, you knew they were going to be a really good team, well-coached team. Kind of what was your expectations after watching them on film with your girls and the fast start that we've had with a couple of wins against two pretty good teams as well?
Well, I had seen all three of their games. The West Carroll game I saw on film, and then I actually went over and watched them play Collinwood and McNary Central, and it was pretty clear that the Johnson kid had to be held in check. I watched her hang 42, I think, on Collinwood on that Friday night. just getting to the rim. And then she had a good game. I don't know how many she had against McNary, but I knew we had to stop her. And we put Avery on her, Avery Beavis, and we had some other kids that had to guard her at various points, just based on switches, screen switches, and then just needing to get Avery a little break. And Riley Qualls came in and did a really good job on her. And you know, she had 20, but, you know, she didn't kill us. You know, I thought they were very disciplined. They did a good job running their offense. They made sure the right kid got the right shot. That was evident. Had to keep her, the Johnson kid, from getting downhill, just from getting to the rack. She gets to the rim so well, and we just knew we had to stay between her and the basket and keep her from getting to the basket. But we did know we had a big post kid that could be an intimidator in there, and maybe not give up quite so many easy ones at the basket if she did get loose from the up top.
What is it about somebody like her, just for a second? She's been a good player for a while. My first time really watching her, I think she's a senior now. Is that right?
Yes.
Junior, senior. But as we were doing the game, Bob Atkinson was doing the game with me, and I kept telling him, I said, you know, she's in the lane. She throws up a shot. She's not shooting a shot. But he said, yeah, but that's just her. That's her game. That's her style. She's not very big, but she sure gets in the paint and does some damage in there, more so than she does outside.
Well, I think it's her first step. Her first step is really quick. She can get around you defensively very quickly. She has good basketball instincts. She has the ability that if someone draws to her, she can get it to the open guy. She's just wiggles her way to the rim. You almost have to stay – you just really stay in front of her, and you hate to use the term dare her to shoot the three, but certainly not giving her plenty of room to where, you know, you can keep her in front. You know, and I think Coach Austin runs a lot of stuff to get her good shots, you know, and you know, she gets them and she makes them. And, you know – the other piece is when she does drive and gets fouled, she never misses a free throw, and that doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, exactly. You can do a lot of damage from the free throw line. But the Lady Tigers came out, had a lot of energy, came out with purpose and built a 14-11 lead after the first quarter, which was a really good quarter, a really good start.
Yeah, you know, I thought we came out well. We had a couple of new wrinkles offensively that we put in just before that game, specifically for that game, and we ran those early and got a couple threes. I think we got a three out of Hannah. Hannah Miller hit a three early, and then Libeth DeBerry hit a three early off some stuff that we had kind of put in for that game and kind of got us going. And, you know, we knew they were going to – do what they could do to limit Avery's touches on the block area. And we knew we had to make some shots. So we put some things in specifically to try to get some shots and get us open looks. And we were successful with that and got a nice lead. You know, and really felt good after the first quarter. 11's a little more than we'd like to give up in a quarter, but you know, hey, it is what it is. And then I thought in the second quarter, for whatever reason, we turned it over too much. I looked at the stats, and on paper, we turned it over 11 times. Now, huddle will count, not that it's not a turnover, but huddle will count, a moving screen as a turnover or something like that. And it certainly is a turnover, don't get me wrong, but, you know, I always look at turnovers as you know, either dead ball or live ball turnovers. Either you threw it in the stands and we get to set our defense, or a live ball turnover where they pick a pass off and go the other way and lay up on us. And I thought we had too many live ball turnovers that ignited their break that resulted in them having 16 points in that quarter. And you know, when you turn it over 11 times in a quarter, you probably didn't get 4 to 5 shots even in that entire quarter. I didn't look at that particular stat, but we just didn't have a good quarter. You know, we either, you know, not that we're looking for moral victories, but we either won or tied 3 out of the 4 quarters. We just had a bad second quarter. And, you know, I challenged the kids at the half that regardless of the score, let's come out and play extremely hard with a lot of pride and with a lot of effort and energy. And I thought we did that in the second half. I thought we came out far more energized, far more focused. And I think we settled down a little bit and had a much, much better third quarter.
Yeah, we did. We'll talk about the third and fourth quarter. Also, what's ahead for the Lady Tigers here in just a few minutes. You're listening to Sports Talk. We'll take a time out. Coach Tony Hill in with us talking Lady Tiger basketball back after this. All right, welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell along with Coach Tony Hill. We're talking Lady Tiger basketball. And, Coach, like you said, not a good second quarter. We go to halftime. We were up by 3 after 1. We found ourselves down by 11 at half. Really our own doing, nothing that they did. We just, like you said earlier, we gave them a lot of extra possessions. Oh, I can't even say it now.
I'll say it for you. Possessions.
Possessions. There you go.
Got it.
That sausage and biscuits got my tongue thick. So. But anyway, you know, and like I said, when you do that, it limits your ability to run your offense and things like that. And it was late in that second quarter before we even really got an offensive bucket. But went in at halftime, come back out, and very energized again. I'm assuming that was a energizing speech in there at halftime and got them refocused on the task at hand. And I'm really happy to see that they fought back. I mean, a lot of teams would have caved at that point and said, you know, this ain't going good. And would have caved, but we fought back, got that thing close and within within range to pull a win out. Unfortunately, put them on the line. They made a lot of free throws.
Well, they did, and we, you know, we came out in the third quarter, and I thought our intensity, our focus, our our drive was a whole lot better than it was in the second quarter, and I can't explain why we didn't play well in the second quarter. I don't know. You know, I watched the film, and they didn't do anything different than they did in the first quarter. But, you know, we ended up getting it down to 42-41. Riley Qualls was at the line, and we chanced to tie it, and we got it to 42-41, and really thought we were in business, and then came down the next possession, and a kid banks in either a 3 or a long 2 from straight on at the bucket. So now it goes from 1 to either 3 or 4. I can't remember if it was a 3 or not, but that was really the point with which you know, we had a chance to get over the top, you know, get a bucket, maybe get a stop, go down and get a bucket, take the lead. Take command of the game again, because, you know, we had command of that thing early. And I think we came out hot and came out and really kind of shocked them a little bit early with our energy. And, you know, late in the game, you know, I thought they just made a couple plays at the end, you know, at 42-41. It came down to just, you know, who could make a shot, who could make a couple plays, and they just made a couple plays more than we did down the stretch. But, you know, I really felt like, you know, we did compete far better, and if we'll compete at that level in the second half that we played the other night, we're going to win a lot of ball games if we can continue to play at that level and continue to get better. You know, I do think – you know, we've got to make sure that we get the basketball where it needs to be to start the offense. And that's what we have to do. And if we can do that better, you know, I think we'll be in a far better position. You know, when we get out of sync, very often it's because the defense doesn't allow us to get the basketball where we want it to be to start our offense. And, when we when we run our stuff well, I think we get really good looks. It's when that we our timing's bad. We have several special sets, and there was a time or two where I just thought our timing was bad. And that's a credit to their defense. I mean, our timing's not bad because we don't know our timing. Our timing's bad because the defense puts us in a position to not go where we want to go when we want to go there. So, you know, very proud of our effort, very proud of our team. And we needed, quite frankly, a good test like that. You know, I told our kids, you know, let's accept the challenge. And I thought we did. Second quarter wasn't our finest moments, but you know, three out of those four quarters, I thought we played really good basketball. And you know, make no mistake, Adamsville's got a good ball club. They're gonna be in the thick of it in that 2A region there. You know, they played very, very well.
Well, I was sitting here thinking the other night when we were talking at the halftime of the boys' game. This is an X and O's thing, but I remember you talking about Averly and the job that they did, because Cleary inside for them, she could handle her own. I think she's an older player too, you could tell. But you were talking about Averly getting off her point where she needs to be effective offensively. Mm-hmm. Kind of elaborate on what you're talking about from an X and O standpoint.
Well, we teach all our post kids to post on what I call the first mark or the first hash. It's the mark just right above the block. The reason for that is we want them to be able to catch it and then be able to you know, maneuver baseline side, maneuver to the inside, maybe face up and have room to shot fake one dribble or whatever. And I sometimes people push us, and you know, all of our post kids, sometimes they'll push us off that neighborhood and push us either usually too low. They push us below the block or block level. So now our catch is oftentimes at a very poor angle to bank and bank a shot in. Now, some of that is due to pressure on the basketball. You know, it's not always the post kid getting moved or maybe not posting where they need to post. Averly does a great job with that. But sometimes it's just pressure on the passer. You know, if I'm just standing out there by myself passing to a post kid, I can be a pretty good passer. But, you know, you put some pressure on me, now all of a sudden I got to worry about, you know, getting the ball deflected or whatever. Maybe my pass isn't as accurate. So some of that happened as well.
Yeah, I wanted to clarify that kind of. I was thinking about that while you were talking, the X and O's part of it, because there's a lot of things going on that, you know, just a fan watching. They're not just running around there, just, you know, going from here to there. There's actually some design, to the method to the madness.
Yeah, you know, I'll never forget, you know, my dad, he's passed away a long time ago. You know, shoot, knocking on 20 years now. But when I was at a NCAA Division III school in Indiana, you know, he called me one day and we were talking, and he goes, "What do you do all day?" You know, because my dad didn't play basketball, and he played football in high school, and he didn't really have the understanding that you know, you watch film and you scout and you recruit and you got academics to worry about and you got speaking things and all those things. And, you know, he was just like, "What do you do all day?" You know, so I had to tell him, you know, it's not just walking in and going to practice. And, you know, speaking of that, and I'm off on a tangent now, but, you know, every practice has got a plan. It's not just like we go in there and say, "Hey, let's do a little three-man weave 2-on-1. Let's do a little box out drill." I mean, you know, every practice has a plan, and really in our case, down to the minute that we want to get accomplished in our 2-hour practice. That you know, it's, and I, how goofy I am, I actually have every practice schedule I've ever put together in 3-ring binders, much to my wife's chagrin. We have those around the house, 3-ring binders full of practice plans. But yeah, you know, you're right. There's so much preparation, and Coach Geyer can speak to this. You know, we prepare like crazy for games. You know, you watch the other team, see what you can do to potentially exploit their weaknesses, and then, you know, on the other side, what are they going to do to us to exploit our weaknesses and make us do things we don't want to do? Because at the end of the day, preparation is down to, you know, what can we do that puts us in a greater position to win? So that's kind of what makes us, you know, people say we're eat up with it. Well, you have to be eat up with it to be good.
Yeah, exactly. I also noticed the other night, too, Shaylee played a lot of the point for you. Was that by design, or she just ended up with the basketball? And I don't mean that, you know.
No.
Was that by design? Because I know you've got really a freshman that is learning how to be a point guard and distributor. I think she did a couple of freshman things in the first quarter, some long passes, you know, that I've seen freshmen do. You know, hey, you got to close those gaps up. You got to come to basketball. These girls are quicker, or guys are quicker than probably what you're used to at middle school. But then improved in the second half because those same mistakes wasn't there anymore. But I just noticed that the other night. I didn't know if you were trying to get Hannah and Lily Beth more involved from the three-point line.
Well, let me talk about Riley, and then I'll come back to Shaylee. You know, Riley, I'll take responsibility for her first turnover. I came out of the timeout and drew up a little pick and roll set for her, and that probably was not the best time to do that, to put her in that position early in coming into a ball game. You know, I should have let her get some touches, you know, see it in action, get the speed of the game. And instead, I drew up a little pick and roll set for her, and that I'll take responsibility for that one. But I do think that you know, the stage was big, and I thought that she came out in the second half with a little settled down, a little more composed, and did a heck of a job. You know, I thought defensively she was really causing some havoc. Her athleticism is so great that, you know, it really caused some havoc there at times. She ended up guarding Johnson a time or two, and then she had – and I know him by numbers. She had zero there at one point and did a really good job. So, yeah, I thought Riley, her progress has been really good over the last – you know, it's been 2 weeks, I guess, now since we started, but her progress has really been great. And she's going to be a big part of what we do for the next 3.5 years or 4 years, whatever you want to say. We ended up with Shaylee at the point guard. It really just was one of those situations where they were letting her do it. You know, they did not want Lily Beth or Riley to handle it. And in our press breaker, one of our press breakers in particular, it does come back to the inbound guy. And they were just letting her bring it up, and, you know, shoot, it was working. So, you know, we were getting the ball at the floor without a lot of pushback. So, you know, I just let her do it. And at the time that she was doing that, we were running an offense that does not really require a particular point guard. We did basically a four out, one in approach where just pass and cut, and the big guy looks to post whoever's inside. But, you know, speaking of Shaylee, I thought she had a really good game. You know, she scored around the basket. She defended well. She rebounded well. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I know she had 11 points and took a lot of the pressure off from a ball handling standpoint. So I thought she did a lot of really good things.
Yeah, it was. I was just curious if that was kind of by design or they just kind of forced you into it.
Yeah,
and she can handle the basketball. You know, she can do a lot of things inside and outside. So, anyway, it is what it is. You just got to go with the flow sometimes.
Well, you know, she's always going to be guarded by a post, and she's got guard skills. So, you know, why not take advantage of the fact that she's going to have a mismatch on her? And she's a great release if we need that in our, and especially against the press.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll be on the road next week. Got a couple of games. We'll tell you about those. Also, Coach Ryan Geyer is in. We'll talk to him, and we'll talk some more Tiger basketball, Lady Tiger basketball. Also, get in some football stuff. That's coming your way next, right here on Sports Talk 93.5 FM. All right, welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm completely depressed now. Thanks, Coach Hill. We got talking about our ages, different parts of our life. We've got them all, you know. We've got a young buck over here. You know,
oh, yeah.
You're a little bit younger than I am.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about these birthdays when you hit a certain mark. When you boys hit my mark, you'll see what I'm saying. I'm hope I'm around. I don't know that I'll see Ryan hit his mark. But anyway, we're going on the road a couple of times next week. First time on the road. I don't know, it kind of sounds crazy, but you got to prepare your kids to go into a hostile environment sometimes and go on the road and all the trip preparation and all that stuff. So we'll go to Fayette Academy next Tuesday. 6 p.m. tip, and then Friday we'll be in Central Alabama.
Yeah, you know, our scrimmage that we had was at home, and then we've played three home games. So it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, how we approach things going on the road. It'd be the first time that we've played away, and, you know, I've taken a little look at Fayette Academy film. They're, you know, definitely a team that we're going to have to prepare for and play well. And then, you know, as you mentioned, we're going back down to Central. And, you know, that game was one that we won by, I think, 16. But certainly that thing wasn't in hand until late. And that game got a little chippy. So, you know, we got to make sure we go down there and keep our head about us and just focus on playing well.
Well, you'll get some interesting officiating down there for sure. May get more chippy than you want it to down there. So, just giving you a heads up.
Appreciate that.
You can talk to Coach Geyer. I mean, he's been almost thrown out several times down there. So,
well, I can't imagine that.
Do what?
Imagine. I said almost.
Almost, yeah.
Don't make me sound bad. Yeah. It's Thanksgiving
almost,
holiday, man.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, it is. But anyway, looking forward to it. 6 p.m. start on Tuesday. And then 6 p.m. Well, it'll be – sometimes it's around 6:30 on Friday. I'm assuming y'all do JV Friday.
Shoot, yeah. I haven't even looked that far ahead.
Yeah,
both of them.
Yeah, probably both of them JV. So it'll probably be about a 6:30 start. But anyway, we'll have it all right here on 93.5 FM. Appreciate you coming in. Stick around if you want to. We'll talk a little football.
I'll hang around.
Okay, all right. Coach Geyer will be in. We'll talk about the Tigers, their big win over Adamsville on Tuesday night. We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Just finished up with Coach Hill and talking Lady Tiger basketball. And now we'll bring in Coach Geyer. Coach, welcome on this Saturday. We've been piling up on you a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The off-air antics have not been good today for some reason.
Well,
I don't know if y'all are in depression about your age or what.
Well, he started it, and then now I'm really depressed, and I was going to enjoy the games this week.
Coach Hill started it,
yeah,
and then
right.
I was just a target, yeah.
But, is this how you guys do me when I leave early?
Pretty much.
Yes. Is that what you do? Okay.
Yes, we can do you. Like
never leaving early again?
Like we did Coach Carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
We like to call him in and trash his coaching ability. We'll get him to call in. Hey, man, call in. We got some things we want to talk about. And then we'll talk about how awful he was at what he did. But he's an Alabama fan. He deserves it.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway. Coach Adamsville in the town. Didn't know what to expect from them sometimes. I do know Coach Martin's got his team playing better. It's kind of been a work in progress. They've been up. And kind of down, now they're climbing the ladder back. But anyway, interesting ball game, especially in the first half. They came out and shot the ball really well, defended us well. And we played well as also at the end of first quarter, 13-11. I don't know that you were kind of shocked by that. I was kind of shocked by that. But they did a great job. Not a big team, but really quick.
Yeah. Yeah, Coach Martin there, they won their first two games and then played McNary. They were tied going into the fourth quarter on Monday night. McNary ended up winning it by 7 or 8, but played a very competitive game. So we knew they were improved, and they came out and played really well in the first quarter. And to be honest, I thought it was probably the worst quarter we had played all year. And credit to them for making that happen. They made some tough shots. got after us defensively. We were loose with the basketball, and we just didn't come out with the fire I think we needed to come out with. I think that we let just kind of the crowd of the game and it just kind of being Thanksgiving week and, well, we can show up and win and that kind of mentality. And, you know, Adamsville, like you said, up at the end of the first quarter and made us work, and guys had to step up, and we did in the second and third. But, you know, credit to them. They're much improved, and like you said, not necessarily very big, but got a lot of guys that are quick to the ball and that can handle it. So, you know, it's a different style of play from what we've seen earlier in the year. But credit to them, and you know, we, like I said, we should have started the game off better, but we ended up bouncing back there in the second quarter.
Well, I think they had a lot to do with that, too. I think, and this is just from doing the game and watching the game, it took us a minute, number one, to kind of catch up with how fast they were playing, because they were really playing hard, really overplaying, real aggressive. And like I said, they're small. They were doing things, especially on the outside, looking for that open shot. They started hitting some threes, which they've typically have always been able to shoot the three ball. But I think once we caught up with them, you know, it became a battle in the second quarter. We ended up being up 28-21.
Yeah, we did. Made some shots, rebounded the ball better in the second quarter. And, you know, we built that lead. I think we were up 10 or 11, and then they came down, hit a three, got a stop, and then cut it to 7 before half. But, you know, they're going to play hard. And if you would have been at that game on Monday night against McNary, it was very physical and aggressive from both sides and both teams getting after each other. So we knew coming in they would have that same intensity. And so they did. They made us work extremely hard there in the first half to build that lead. And we responded well, like I said, after that first quarter. But we had a really good third quarter after halftime and built that lead up. But I think they kind of ran out of gas a little bit late. But you know, credit to them. They made us work, threw some different stuff at us, played some zone, played an odd front zone, pressed a little bit, and Coach Martin kept us on our heels. But the main thing with us is, like we talked about last week, those role guys figuring out kind of how they can impact the game. And, you know, I think Blake McCon had a good game on Tuesday, and it's kind of been a different guy or two every night. Aiden Coleman, I thought, had his best game of the year on Tuesday. So trying to get everybody playing their best at the same time is kind of our next step.
Well, as a coach in one of those games and they're trying to really play up tempo, you kind of want to play more of a power game, play inside, take a look at core, especially when we got them out, man. Like that, I think you just sticking to your guns and just letting it play out. And then in the second half, like you said, I think they just kind of played out. They had a tough game on Monday, two rival games back-to-back, and just kind of gave out in the fourth.
Yeah, and I think we kind of wore them down after they made some tough shots early, and a couple of those shots didn't fall. And like we talked about, it's always easy to guard when you make a shot. You'll see guys, they make a shot, and then they're slapping the floor and at every level or getting up in somebody. But when you miss a shot, it's a lot harder to go back down and play defense. And so that works both ways. And I think they missed a couple shots and weren't as aggressive defensively, allowed us kind of get in a rhythm. And, you know, we made some shots there in the second and third quarter that we're capable of making. And we really still hadn't shot the ball great, I don't think, in the first three games. We've finished around the rim well and attacked the paint, but we've not shot it well from deep like I think we're capable of doing. And part of that, I think, is just from shooting the ball early. And Coach Hill can speak to that. When it's game speed, it's different. And so it takes a few games to get that kind of mentality of like, okay, this is the difference. Because when you shoot all spring, summer, fall, you can't prepare for that game speed. And then when teams throw different looks at you and you might get a different shot on the floor than what you're accustomed to shooting, figuring that part out, it can be difficult at the high school level. But we got good looks. We'll shoot it better. And like I said, that's kind of the two next parts of our game are shooting the basketball better and everybody playing collectively well at the same time. I think some guys have had some good games and not, and then it kind of flips the next game. So getting everybody on the same page is kind of our next thing. But proud of our guys' effort, and it's always good to get a win for Thanksgiving.
Well, I know Jackson, too. He seems to be wanting to shoot outside a little bit more than normal, and he's been pretty successful at the three spot.
Yeah, that's something we've stressed really the past 2 years is when he's open, letting it fly, and because he can make those shots. And as you remember when he was a freshman, it was always catch and kind of head fake, not really wanting to shoot it. And so that's something, just building confidence to let it go. And I think you've seen that the first couple games, and he can make those shots, which opens up everything for everybody else. Because if you've got to take that extra step, we know what he can do when he gets by you, and it opens up the game for all our other guys. So he's capable of making them, and he's got to keep taking them. And I think he made three threes against Adamsville, but he's capable of making those shots, and it's a big key for us moving forward.
When you're as deep as you are right now, you're probably 8-9 deep. Possibly going through and trying to figure out your rotations and things like that as we move throughout the season. How difficult is that when you got, 8-9 kids that really could play, and you got several that are, right there equal to each other?
Yeah, well, that's like we were talking about. We brought back four starters, and I think most of those guys kind of knew their role, and we knew where their game would improve. And figuring out those roles, Briley Ritter, Blake McCon, both those guys weren't – Blake was in our program but wasn't a varsity player, was not able to play. And so two new guys coming in, Cole Browder's a freshman, new guy coming in. He's been playing minutes off the bench. Isaiah Bingham, freshman, off the bench. So you take – there's four guys that are basically new to us. Aiden Coleman stepped into a starting role, and he's played really well the first couple games. But the big thing, like we've talked about with our guys, is don't turn the basketball over and defend, and the shots will find you. And if we can do those two things, those guys, it makes the game easier for everybody. Like Briley's going to get kick-out threes or transition layups, and I think you've seen that the first couple games. Isaiah Bingham's going to get touches on the block off a drive and dish. Blake's very athletic, using his athleticism to defend and rebound. And like we said, the ball will find you offensively. And that's what we've been really trying to stress, is if you can do those things, the more time you're going to earn. It's all about trust. And we always think it's about scoring, and it's not about scoring. It is. Scoring's great, but when you've got – I think right now we've got three dudes averaging 13 to 17 points. So how else are you impacting the game? And making the extra pass, defending, rebounding. And I think once – and that's a whole group. That doesn't mean the guys that are scoring don't have to play both ends. But how can we impact the game? Winning plays matter. And – that's something we've stressed. And, like, you come in, turn the ball over, and miss a defensive assignment, you're coming out. And I think that's allowed not necessarily to play tight, but play with the understanding of, like, make the most of my opportunities. And that's going to pay dividends here in the next few weeks as we get into district play.
All right, the Tigers win it going away 59-38 over Adamsville. We'll be on the road next week. We'll talk with Coach Geyer about Fayette Academy and – the second game with Central Alabama should be interesting. We'll be right back. You're listening to Sports Talk on 93.5 FM. Back after this. All right, welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell along with Coach Geyer. Coach Hill in the waiting over there. He wants to talk some football. He just can't wait to talk about Big Ten football. But anyway, that's why they're on Friday, because they're Big Ten football.
Yeah,
he's been waiting. They're not on the main stage.
See, I was going to be nice.
He's been waiting 60 years to talk about Indiana football, so let him have his due.
Yeah, well, I've been waiting a long time, too. I brought out the old school. I had this a long time ago.
You know, that's coming back now. That'd be back in style for you.
Yeah,
know.
That'd be back in style. But anyway, going the road, we've been to Fayette Academy, I think, last year. We went over there, and then Friday night over to Central. Fayette Academy game, smaller school, it's been a good place to go play, get over there, hopefully get a couple of wins and get back home, then turn our attention to Central, where Coach Josh over there, he'll have his second chance at you in as many weeks.
Yeah, Fayette Academy. We actually played them at home last year, went over there 2 years ago, but their boys team last year was very good, won 17, 18 games, lost a couple kids, brought some pieces back. Their coach and I actually have known each other a long time. His dad and my dad are very close friends, so we kind of have that connection there. But he's been there 6 or 7 years now and has done a really good job. And I think they're 3-2 or 3-3 now, maybe. I think they played over maybe yesterday. They're playing today. I can't exactly remember. But they're a quality team. You got to go over there and play. They had guys that can shoot it. So if you don't get out there and contest, they're capable of hitting 10 threes in a game. And so then turn around and go to Central on Friday. That's always a tough place to play. Honestly, I think it's one of the two or three toughest places to play that we go to on a regular basis. That student section right on top of you, on that far side, right across from our bench. And, you know, Coach Josh always has them ready to play. And so that's going to be a test next Friday, especially since we beat them here last week. And so they'll have that extra motivation. But, going on the road, two quality teams. And so we got to show up ready to play after the break.
Well, looking forward to it. I always love going on the road, especially on a Tuesday night or a Friday night.
Huh? What? I sense the sarcasm there.
No.
You love it.
Yeah, I do. You know, going to Fayette Academy, I think they play in like an auditorium, and they put a wood floor out there or something. Wasn't there a stage on?
They've got a new gym. Oh, okay. Yeah, it was pretty nice, but you can't be taking shots.
Well, man. I'm not taking shots at him. I mean, I know he's your friend. I'm not taking shots. I'm just saying. I'm just calling the obvious. You know, that's just kind of how it is. Yeah. You know? Take shots when we can take shots. Wait till we go to, Walnut, Mississippi?
Yeah, we're not going to Walnut.
Oh, we're not going there?
But that's a very unique place to play.
Yeah, I remember when we went over there, they said, y'all can sit on the floor, talking about me and Bill. Y'all can sit in the corner of the gym floor right outside the out-of-bounds line. I said, hey, can we go up top?
Yeah.
Oh, you can do that, too. Of course, the way that one is, like everything's up. All the fans are up. The floor's down. Nobody's on the floor except players. So, interesting gym. Mm. About 1940s?
Yeah.
50s style gym. Yeah. But they could play. Mm. That's all that mattered.
Yeah.
They got up and down that little old court. It's funny because you play at our place. Our gymnasium looks huge. And then you go to some of these other places where they've condensed it down quite a bit.
Yep.
But oh, no. Our gym is really – it's an awesome – that was really impressive to me when I first saw it. I just looked up and was like, wow, this is like a gym you see, in Indiana where, you know, sometimes gyms are crazy big and never fill them up anymore. But our gym's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. Been there a long time. All right, Ryan, we're going to take a timeout. We're going to come back. I'll give you some high school scores from the playoffs. Semifinals are over with. We'll also look at the college schedule as it's rivalry week on Saturday. You're listening to Sports Talk on 93.5 FM. Back with more after this. Back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Coach Hill, Coach Guy are in with me on this Saturday morning. Beautiful Saturday, a little chilly outside. Great day to be inside and watch football. Let's take a look at the semifinals from last night. The West Tennessee teams, McKenzie defeated Fayetteville. They're moving on to the championship game, 39-0. To nothing. Huntington 35, Milan 34, Westview 40, Covington 24, Pearl Cone 42, South Gibson 28. South Gibson actually had the lead at halftime in that game, and then
I think they were up 21 to nothing.
May have been, yeah.
And then
yeah,
Pearl Cone went on a tear.
Yeah, well, that happens. We've been over there.
Yep.
I remember a couple of years ago we went over there. We took a really good football team over there, and it was just like a – I don't know. We couldn't keep anybody on the field. It's like Kendall, my son-in-law, he actually replaced Blake that night. Mm-hmm. He said, man, it's like a MASH unit over there. They're bringing people over there left and right, knees torn, you know, almost concussions. You know, during the game, they're almost concussions. And then sometimes if things are going bad, they're really bad. Concussion, just get me out of here. But we went through that several times at Pearl Cone, and they've lost like four games this year. Mm-hmm. But they play a little bit different schedule than most. But that Huntington-Milan game, that would have been a fun one to be at last night.
Oh, no doubt. Milan loves their football for sure.
So does Huntington. They're nuts over there about their football program. But anyway, let's look at some college. You want to do SEC or you want to just talk about – let's go Big Ten. Look, there's only really one good game in the Big Ten.
You're hating on the Big Ten. And, you
I'm,
know,
not, I'm really
I've been,
not.
I've been in Tennessee now 16 years, so I've converted to an SEC guy. But, you know, when my Hoosiers finally
– well, I was going to get to
and
them.
I say finally win, then you got to at least take a peek at the Big
well,
Ten.
Well, I was going to look at them. Last night I went and checked the score. I was actually going to watch, and it was already over with. They won big over Purdue.
So it wasn't at the top of your list last night?
No, I was actually watching Texas A&M. Okay. Started watching Arizona State a little bit because I think it's Arizona State's quarterback. He's been mentioned maybe wanting to transfer down this way. So, you know, I wanted to check out maybe a future ball.
Get a little scouting report.
See if we want him. He got beat, so he can stay there. They got beat. Arizona actually beat them last night. But, yeah, your Hoosiers, 12-0, first time ever.
Well, you know, if you would have told me as early as two years ago, you know, that could Indiana be in this position in football, I would have said no way. The magic that Coach Cignetti has put together there at Indiana, unbelievable. I lived through the years of, you know, scheduling two or three cupcakes early, trying to get to 3-0 or so, and then hoping to somehow scratch out three wins in the Big Ten and get to a bowl game. And that was a big deal at that point. And, you know, now we sit here in 2025 and we're going to – be in the Big Ten championship game and with hopes of getting a bye and minimum getting a home game in the tournament. And, you know, with the chance to win it, I mean, you know, you sit here and say, well, you know, Indiana, you know, hadn't had the schedule some other people have had and there's may or may not be true, but they've handled their business. And, you know, I think Ohio State's going to be a very, very tough task for them, but we're there, and that's the – you know, you got to be there to win it, so we're there.
Ohio State hadn't beat Michigan yet. Ryan Day has problems with the maize and blue.
You know, it would be a great treat if that were to happen today.
Well, where are they playing? Where are they?
It's at Michigan.
It's at Michigan, yeah. They beat them on the road. And well, let's talk about your guys real quick. Man, they fell off the map three. They were right
You know, there was a time when Coach Geyer felt very strongly that game day might come to.
Well, he had every right. Yeah,
that was before the loss,
and it's got a lot quieter about Memphis lately.
Yeah. Well, like they went up against a really good team the other night. I think kind of shocked them when in Navy number one, and then maybe the pressure a little bit of. You got to win this game. If you win this game, you're almost certain to be in that top 12, and then things kind of fall apart. You get to talking about that because that's all anybody talks about anymore.
Because when you circle the big games on your calendar and you win them, and then the pressure becomes, well, now you've got to continue to win. And so they did not continue to win. And I think you saw that play out throughout the rest of the year. But when you get put in that position, when, you know, first college football bracket comes out and they're the group of five school, hey, and then you go and get beat. And then, well, we can then you beat South Florida. Well, we're still back in the mix. Then you lose again. And I think they hop up the big games on the calendar and overlook the other games, which in college football, as we know, every game's a big game because you play 12 games. So when you lose to UAB, it's atrocious. Yeah. And so but I give Coach credit. He's been on the Indiana bandwagon since I've known him, and credit to them. But you're not going to mention the Vols because you nervous today or
no,
what?
I am going to mention them. I was saving them for last. But I am going to mention them because Oklahoma, they stole our program, really. Our program, our season, really. Yep. They're where we should be. We should be at that 2-loss, 1-loss. We're not. And now here we are, you know, with Vandy. And I look at Vandy as, had you seen it, Vandy? You know, it's like, ugh. Yeah. I can't even believe we're in the same discussion with them. talking about, but this is where we live now in college football fans, because it's portal. It's the people that's got the money that can buy players. And kids are moving around all over the place. A kid may be here this year. Next year, he may be here. It's just like coaching. You know, it's the same thing. Vandy's got an old team. I mean, their average age is like 24.
Well, their quarterback, I think me and him probably 30. Graduated high school.
Yeah, he's 30.
Pavia, but yeah. Yeah.
He's
but,
been in it a long time. And
like you're talking about, with this is the epitome of it. Is that we're discussing Lane Kiffin, and I like Ole Miss. I've been to 2 Ole Miss games this year, but whether he's going to leave to go to LSU or not, and 10 years ago, that wouldn't even be a talking point.
No.
And so that tells you how much the game has changed and the landscape of it. And the portal and NIL has changed the game. And also how big the SEC's gotten, how big the Big Ten's gotten, and now you're playing – going to 9 conference games next year. There's 18 school. Like, it's crazy, and it's so different just from 10 years ago how much it's changed. But I'm interested to see. I think the biggest thing is whether Lane Kiffin stays or goes more than
anything. You'll hear
today.
It all day until he makes his decision. And, you know, they thought Florida had moved their volleyball game today. And everybody's speculation was there's got to be a big announcement because they're clearing out, you know, the Coliseum or the gymnasium or whatever, wherever they play volleyball for that big announcement. And then I read, you know, across the ticker yesterday afternoon, Florida's moved on from Lane Kiffin. So they're going in a different direction. So.
It should have been Lane Kiffin moved on from Florida.
Yeah.
It should have been phrased like that. But
he don't want to go down there. That's a mess down there. Did you see the way they played last week?
Yes.
I mean, we go down there and just – well, I can't say it on radio, but we beat them really bad, and they quit. And that's not a typical Florida team.
Yeah, you know, in this day and age, you can flip your roster so quickly. And whether you agree with the rules that the NCAA's put in place for transfers or not, reality is you can flip your roster and all of a sudden now you're good. I mean, you know, look at Indiana. They went from 3 wins to, I don't know, 10 or 11 last year, and now 12-0. Whoever gets the Florida job could easily flip that roster in a hurry and be a contender in the SEC. You know, so it equals the playing field, I suppose, to some degree for a coach to come in there or anywhere else, knowing that, you know, they could get in the transfer portal and all of a sudden now they've got a whole different roster and be able to be competitive.
Well, this is just my thought, opinion. Like Coach Clark Lee at Vandy, he gets a 6-year extension on his deal yesterday. Now, pre-Pavia and the offensive coordinator, the most games he had won is 2. I mean, they weren't very good under his watch. He gets Pavia. They get They bring in the offensive coordinator. They bring in the tight end from the same school. All of a sudden, they beat Alabama last year. Mm-hmm. They're good, and now they're on a roll. I mean, they're really they're 9-2, 5-2. It's just unheard of, ranked 14th. They got an opportunity today to kind of make their argument of getting in the playoffs. They'll probably be left out, but they're there. They're close. So you ink a 6-year deal. Well, Pavia's gone after this year. The Stires kid, I think he's gone as well. So what you got to do? You're going to have to recruit again. And my son, I don't keep up with it. My son yesterday, well, they got a five. They got a 5-star coming in. I said, so? We've had 5-stars come in too. Your team has and everybody, you know, so what?
Well, you see, I mean, the game with freshmen coming in at quarterback and playing and being very successful are slim to none. And so that's why everybody like Ty Simpson doing what he's doing. Yes, it's his first year as a starter. Well, he's been in the program 4 years. And guys, Diego
Arch Manning
set for 2 years. So, like, these guys coming in as true freshmen and playing and winning in the SEC or the Big Ten is I wouldn't take my chances per se on that. But another big thing today, if Alabama gets beat, what happens with DeBoer? I'm not saying do they fire DeBoer, but you know how Alabama fans are. They finish 9-3. Do they for sure get in the playoff? Are they a lock? You know, if they win, they're in the SEC title game against Georgia. So that's another big plot as well today. But
I think you need to go and get on Coach Carpenter's Facebook page, and if things are not going well with Alabama, he gets pretty animated.
Here, I saw this said from a college football insight reporter. 9 locks: Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia, Ole Miss, A&M, Oregon, Big 12 champ, Group of 5 champ, ACC champ, which leaves 3 spots for Alabama, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Vanderbilt, Texas, Michigan, Miami. So,
well, Notre Dame's going to get in.
But with Bama,
all the time.
Bama and Vanderbilt both playing today, depending on win or lose, like that could flip so many things. And then Texas winning last night against A&M. So there's still a lot of talking points left with these games today. And obviously, like we said, the biggest thing, does Lane Kiffin stay or go?
Well, you got 2 things in SEC for sure. Let's see, Kentucky, Louisville, who cares? Clemson, they're making a little run back. They're playing South Carolina. LSU and Oklahoma, that's a big game for Oklahoma.
Yep.
To stay in the mix. Of course, Vandy, Tennessee coming up on 93.5 at 2:30. Vandy, you know, they've got to win to have their chances of getting the playoffs. Missouri, Arkansas, Florida State, Florida, but Alabama, Auburn. So you got 3 games today, and then, of course, Michigan, Ohio State. That game, Michigan could ruin the season again, regular season, but didn't seem to affect them last year, Ohio State losing that game. But a lot of people will say, that's what I like about this week. They would rather beat Michigan, or Michigan would rather beat Ohio State than win the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, you know, rivalry weekend is so interesting because, you know, let's take a look at some of the games. You know, Auburn, you know, that game, there are people who think Auburn can make it happen against Alabama today. You know, I certainly in my eyes, Clemson, I like them against South Carolina. So there's a lot of good games today that are going to have real big playoff aspirations. You know, going back to Vanderbilt, when Clark Lee first got there, I don't even know how we came across this, but we got an email, my wife and I, about season tickets to Vanderbilt. And we ended up getting season tickets that particular year, his first year there. And we went to all the games. It was kind of fun. You know, we saw Georgia. We saw some other really good teams. And, you know, the second year, they called us and said, you know, we can move you to the 40-yard line. And I forget the cost. It was like $600. It wasn't much at all. And then, you know, now, good luck getting a seat now for a season ticket now for $600. I just think, you know, with the ability to flip your roster and be good, it puts so many different teams that you don't think can ever do it in a position now to compete. And, you know, the teams that have always competed, they've got to figure out a way to step it up and be able to compete at an even higher level, because other people now can pay those players and get a roster that's competitive even nationally.
Yeah. And I think another thing is that's happened in the way they do these ball games. Take Pavia, for instance. That's a good story. I mean, it is. He's been around a long time, been to a couple of different schools. Same thing with Aguilar. He's been, you know, that's a good story too. But they focus every game on his mother and his brothers and all the antics that go on in the stands instead of actually on the kid and what he's doing on the football field. And so I think people have gotten a little fatigued with all that stuff that goes on. I mean, I forgot what I was watching a game, and they just kept showing the parents. You know, every time they had a break, they went to the parents. It's like, I'm sick of seeing.
Well, it's like Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Oh, same thing.
How many times
they
show her in the stands?
Yeah.
Last year, although
they made a lot of money off her, though. They brought all those 14, 15-year-old girls that listen to her music.
A whole new demographic of fan.
Yeah, in NFL. But
yeah.
Yeah, they do it. Last night, they showed the Mannings quite a bit. Not as much as usual, but they did show them. I think the way they handled this year with him, he had a terrible start. I can remember people were talking about him transferring, and the fans were on him, but just kept rolling with it. And they were talking about last night an interview with his dad, and he said, he'll be fine. He's got to learn to deal with this kind of stuff. You know, he's going to be okay one way or the other. If it works out, it works out. If it don't, it don't. He'll be fine.
Well, and I think, you know, his NIL deal, I don't know what it is specifically, but it's certainly one of the top NIL deals, I think, in the country, if not the biggest. He isn't going to match that a lot of places. So, you know, Sark is a great developer of players, and, you know, he's put himself in a great position and certainly looked much improved last night, for sure.
Yeah, he made some big plays. Y'all want to do a pick real quick? Oklahoma LSU? Oklahoma's up, let's see, picked by 11.5.
I'll go with Oklahoma to win it.
Yeah, they need to win. Vandy, Tennessee. Tennessee, 2.5.
It's hard for me. You know.
Well, you were a season ticket holder at Vandy.
Well, that was once upon a time. I'll go with Tennessee. You know, I think Tennessee's going to rise to the challenge and get it done today.
Alabama and Auburn. Alabama, 4.5-point favorite.
I'll go with a Tide, but I think there's so much pressure on DeBoer if they lose this game and what they possibly miss the playoff or likely miss the playoff with a loss and lose to Auburn, who just fired their coach. Like, I'll go with Alabama, but it's hard to pick. It's always hard to pick against rival home rivalry game teams. Mm-hmm. And so I'll still go with the Tide, but like you said, that line's only 4. There's a reason it's that low. And so I'll go with the Tide.
Well, if I could go back to the Oklahoma game, a little birdie told me the weather was going to be a little ugly in Oklahoma today. So the weather may play a factor in that game. So keep that in mind as you watch that game today.
Yeah, the total of that game is 36.5. They're not expecting a whole lot of offense in that game by either team. But, I'm with y'all. Auburn has a chance. Alabama's a good team. I think they'll end up winning it. But it's a tough place to play. They proved that. Used to, it wasn't much of a rivalry game when they were playing, what was it, in Birmingham?
Yep.
Legion, was it Legion Field? Yeah. They go and play, and it's more of a home game, you know, for Alabama. But yeah, Oklahoma, they'll get the win. They got the better defense. And this Vandy Tennessee game, I mean, I really hadn't thought about it a whole lot. It's just Vanderbilt, but I know they're good. I'm just interested in seeing, but I'm afraid that we don't have a chance to go to the playoffs. So, I'm gonna watch it because I watch all of them. But you know, if we play good, we play good. If we don't, I want
to
win.
But you get to ruin Vanderbilt.
But you get to
ruin.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I understand that, but we'll see. We'll see how it starts. I think Aguilar has had a good year. He's helped us out. I mean, you know, when you lose your quarterback the day before the spring game, you got to do some coaching. And they found him. It's just basically a swap, and he's helped us out. You know, it could have been ugly.
You know, I think the other piece of the Tennessee game is Tennessee wants to win just to show they're still the big dog on the porch here in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I think that's motivation enough to make them really come out today with a lot of fire and a lot of energy and win that football game.
Well, there's been a lot of trash talking, too, from the other side.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't they do a video? When is it? 30 for 30 or something like that? You know, covering Vandy. A lot of trash talking, so we'll see. I'll tell you this before we get out of here real quick. I was watching a program on Sunday. It's just a Tennessee thing. But anyway, Will Overstreet, y'all may not know that name, but anyway, he was defensive end years ago when Tennessee was really, really good and had some really great teams back in that 90s era. And they asked him, he said, "Whoa, what would y'all do, you know, going to this game?" Pavia's kind of talked a lot. And he said, "Well, I know what we would do. The first opportunity we get, you know, we'd rattle his cage a little bit." And they said, "What do you mean?" He said, "We'd give him a headshot." And you said, "You can't say that on air now. You ask us what we would do back in our day." you know, that's just a 15-yard penalty. That was all that was, you know.
Yep.
But other than that, you know, see what happens. Give him a little headshot, rattle his cage a little bit, see how he handles things. So, not that we're saying you need to go out and target kids.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Y'all agree with that?
Yes, sir.
Completely different
era.
Yeah,
completely different era. But anyway, we'll find out later. Should be a good day. 11 o'clock, Ohio State, Michigan coming on. And also Kentucky-Louisville is an early game. They start at 11 along with Clemson and South Carolina. The 2:30 game is LSU and Oklahoma and also Vandy-Tennessee. And then tonight at 6:30, Alabama and Auburn will close it out. And then Michigan-Ohio State's at 11 too. So a lot of football to watch. Get that screen where you can get four games going on at one time on your screen. So need to get that going on. That's what I'm fixing to do. Appreciate y'all coming in and hanging out a little bit, talking some basketball, talking some football. Look forward to next week. We'll be at Fayette Academy on Tuesday and Central on Friday. You can catch all the action right here on 93.5 FM starting at 6 p.m. Coming up around 12:30 today will be the Vol Network. They'll take over and they'll lead you up to the kickoff between Vandy and Tennessee at 2:30. So turn down the TV, turn up Mike Keith, and then enjoy Tennessee Vandy coming up a little bit later on right here on 93.5 FM. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. If you're traveling home, please be safe. We'll see you on Tuesday night as we'll be in Fayette Academy. That'll be a 6 p.m. start. See you next week right here on Sports Talk at 9 a.m. For Clark at the station, for Coach Hill, Coach Geyer, I'm Steve Carnell saying so long. Go Vols, go Tigers.